Let's start. Eternity. Forever and ever and ever and ever. Come here. In our search for meaning in life and discovering God to be the center and purpose. The other sheet? Do you have any extra sheets? He didn't get one. In our search for meaning in life and discovering God to be the center, probably give him a pencil too, okay? To be the center and purpose of our life, we run into a very important idea. An idea that is really fascinating. That is the idea of eternity. Eternity. The listening house away, you listening? Okay. Time, we measure by the specific passage of the moments that we express in smaller moments or blocks and larger. For example, a small block of time we would call a second. A bigger is a minute. Still larger block of time would be an hour. Then a day. Then a week. Then a year. Then a decade. You know what decade means? 10 years. Yeah, how about a century? Have you ever heard the word a century? What would a century be? You're a math major. 100 years, no? So a second and a century is a big difference, right? For us, but for God, no. Therefore, in this lesson, let us learn the concept of God, ourselves, and time and eternity. What then is eternity? The response is as simple as you could imagine. Eternity is forever and ever and ever and ever. Write that in there. And right after, in those two lines, forever and ever and ever. But will eternity finally end? The response is clear and unequivocal. No. Is God eternal? Absolutely. God has no what? He has no beginning. And God will have no end. God has no beginning, and God will have no end. Billions of years ago. Did God still exist even a billion years ago? What do you think? Absolutely yes. Okay, so let's name two attributes or qualities of God. Name two attributes of God with delight. There are many attributes of God. But related to our topic here are two. They are, God is eternal and God is infinite. God is eternal and God is infinite. What about the world? The world where we live, did it have a start or a beginning? Yes, and we can read this in the first book of the Bible, and that is the book of Genesis. The first two chapters of Genesis recounts God creating the world. God creating the world and all that is in it. What is creation then? Creation is an action that only God can do. And creation means what? It means to bring something out of nothing. Once again, only God can do this. Only God can do this. So when we say that I can create something, a literary masterpiece, a work of art, a musical composition, a masterpiece to eat well, we're using that almost only metaphorically, because only God can create in the strict theological sense of the word. What about us human beings? Did we have a beginning? We sure did. It all started the moment of our conception. Then we actually started to exist. The moment of our conception, that's when we started to exist. Think about this. Where were you 20 years ago? I've often thought about that, no? 70 years ago, I didn't exist. That's interesting. But 60, I was already 4 years old. I've often thought about that when I was a kid. That 70 years ago, I didn't even exist. And God brought me into existence. Wow. So once you didn't exist, but once you came into existence, you're no longer going to enter into non-existence. I use a double negative there, which means a positive. What does that mean? That once you started to exist in your mother's womb, you will exist for all eternity. And that way your existence is never going to be blotted out. It's incredible, isn't it? No? Now, if we die in God's grace, we're going to be with God forever in heaven. That's why we're here, right? We talked about that already. But if we die in the state of mortal sin, then we're going to be separated from God for all eternity. You know, life is really short. We don't know when God's going to call us. 2 hours ago, I had a funeral mass. Now, all the person was? 4 months. 4 months. It was a miscarriage. The lady had a miscarriage. The baby was about 4 months old. No? Short life, huh? Very short life. Now and then we do funerals where we're burying people that are 90. But in the eyes of God, St. Augustine says this, that our life in comparison with eternity is a mere blink of the eye. A life in the eyes of eternity is a mere blink of the eye. How short. Remember once as a child I was sitting there in the grass in the middle of the summer. And there's a rock and roll group that was around when Mrs. Gehr and I were growing up. It was called Simon and Garfunkel. Remember them? They were about the same age. And they had one song. It was "I Am a Rock and You're an Island." Remember that one? That was one of my favorites. No? And I thought as a kid, I'm not a rock. I'm not a plant. I'm not a poodle, I'm not a pit bull, and I'm not an island, but I'm a human person. God could have created you a rock. He could have created you a sunflower. He could have created you a pit bull. Luis the pit bull. I mean, he could have, right? He could have created you a giraffe. He could have created you a cucaracha. I mean, he could have. He could have created all these lower forms of life. But he created you a human person. And everything in the created world does not have the value of one human person. And your human soul is worth more than the whole created universe. You got that? Yeah. So let's go back to number nine. What about our start? Well, as soon as conception took place, then God infused in us our immortal soul. That will exist for all eternity. I want you to write next to number nine. What is your soul? Your soul has memory, understanding, Luis, did you write that in there? Imagination, and free will. It's invisible, but real. So your memory, what is your memory? Being able to call to the present past events, right? What's your understanding? You can read something, you can interpret the meaning behind it. How about imagination? You can create in your mind a fantasy world that doesn't exist. It's called the power of imagination. Free will. You're not a robot, are you? A robot doesn't have free will. It's a mechanical item created. So all of that is in our soul. Remember the definition of death. Death is what? It's the separation of the soul from the body. When the soul leaves the body, you're theologically, you're dead. Got that? Okay, let's move on. What about our body and our soul in eternity? Luis? Good question. Our body will die, but our soul will live forever. Our soul will live forever. If saved, our soul will go to heaven. Damned, our soul will go to hell. And both for eternity, which means forever and ever and ever and ever. Eternity. Can you repeat what it's like? Of course I can. With great joy. Eternity means forever and ever and ever and ever. Got that? No end. How about a biblical verse on time and eternity? St. Peter, who was the first pope. St. Peter was the first pope, right then and there. Successor of Jesus to rule, sanctify, and teach. And this is one of his letters that we can read in the Bible. For God, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like one day. Got that? You have an extra pencil? His pencil book, yeah. Okay, so for God, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like one day. You write down next to number 12, write down the analogy of the bird and sand. Okay, here you have it. You try to imagine a bird is flying over the seashore, maybe over Seal Beach, Newport Beach, Long Beach. And the bird swoops down, and with his little beak, he picks up a grain of sand. Then the bird flies all the way to Jupiter. It's a long flight, isn't it? Okay, with that grain of sand, he's got to drop the grain of sand and fly all the way back to the seashore. And he grabs another grain of sand, and he flies all the way to Jupiter again. Drops a grain of sand. Flies all the way back again. He grabs another grain of sand, and he's flying a little bit slower now because he's kind of tired. And he drops the grain of sand. When that bird will have taken all the grains of sand on planet Earth, transferring every grain of sand on planet Earth, depositing it on Jupiter, eternity is just beginning. We're just entering into the very threshold of eternity. Got that? It'll take a long time, isn't it? Probably trillions of years. Even if it's trillions of years, it's nothing in comparison with eternity. Next. Number 13. What does St. Augustine say about time and eternity? What did he say? He said this. This great saint who was a convert to Jesus in his early 30s said this. Our life in comparison with eternity is a mere blink of the eye. Our life in comparison with eternity is a mere blink of the eye. The Psalms in eternity. The book of the Psalms that has 150 in total and is a great prayer book of the Bible has this to say about eternity. The life of man is like the flower of the field. Like the flower of the field that rises in the morning and withers and fades as the sun goes down. Think about that flower. Raises his head in the morning, the sun comes out, it burns him, it's already dead as the sun goes down. That's how short life is. Is our life really long?
Yes.
Long. In comparison, write this in there, our life on earth is short. Very short. Exceedingly short. Even some person who lives into his or her hundreds is a very short life in comparison with eternity. Remember that eternity is forever and ever and ever. Before finishing, I want you to turn over your sheet, turn it over, and write down this. Five practices. Five practices to get to heaven. thinking about heaven is forever and ever and ever and ever. First practice is frequent confession. Once a month. Every time you go to confession, you're restoring your friendship to Christ, or you're strengthening your friendship with Christ. Especially when the time of Lent, which is especially important time to make a good confession. Second is meditate on the last things. So we've been going through this the past 4 weeks. To really meditate upon these last things, this is going to help us to really wake up and to try to change our lives. And what are the last things? The reality of death. We don't know the day nor the hour. We've got to be prepared. Kobe Bryant. What a shock, right? The greatest athletes in the history of basketball. He's dead and buried. He was 23 years younger than I am. 23 years younger than me. Young guy, huh? Older than you guys, but the guy was in his 40s. He's dead. Well, I think one of the biggest shocks in the world of sports was that guy. Never would have thought in a million years that his helicopter was going to crash into that hillside with his daughter. He's dead. Shocking. You know, I'm not just saying that to scare you guys, but with this coronavirus, it could get into LA. It's already gotten in a little bit, no? How do we know it's not going to get into where we're living? And I'm not saying this to scare you guys, but LA could easily be the easiest city in which corona could get into. I'll tell you why. LAX. It's one of the biggest airports in the world. People coming from China, right? Japan, Korea. Of course, you've got customs and they've got to go through all these different processes, but you never really tell. Got it coming in from China and he goes into Hawaiian Gardens, and who knows, maybe he stops to get a taco or something. You know, the guy with corona puts his hand on the table, okay, that bacteria is there for 4 hours. You know that? So say, for example, you go to Taco Bell or McDonald's, and the guy puts his hand on the table, for 4 hours, you got the bacteria there. So I don't know about your interpretation of coronavirus. My interpretation is God is saying, wake up and recognize you got to call out to me, because that coronavirus can end up spreading throughout the whole world. My thought on this is, I'm not a scientist or a physicist or, you know, chemist, or I don't have a doctorate in medicine, but I would think that what we want to do is try to get the best medical minds in the world to try to find some type of, you know, injection. What? Vaccine. Yeah, vaccination. That was my thought this morning. You get some of the best minds in the world biologists, chemists, physicists, doctors, to study all the different possibilities, put together vaccines so that maybe it could save some of us. Well, my thought was this: if we have to die of the coronavirus, well, as long as we die in the state of grace, we're going to go to heaven, right? So I don't. I haven't lost any sleep over it. Maybe you have. No? We got to go. We got to go, right? But I think it's very much related to this topic because no one has a vaccination yet. No one has a vaccination yet. So what God is saying, try to live good lives. And that's where it really, it attacks you, the lungs. I hope you don't have it, no? But that's where it starts. It starts with the lungs, right? And then you can't breathe. Your lungs become like plastic, and then you can carry away an oxygen tube, you know, they carry a tank, one of those. It's only been going to go for a couple of weeks, right? So it's not important a long life, but a holy life. You got that? What did I say? It's not important a long life, but a holy life. Please turn around. So let's finish this. Okay, right. Meditate on the last things. Death. Write it down. Judgment. This is a review. Death, judgment. What else? Heaven. Hell. And the very important topic, eternity. You meditate upon those things. That's going to help you to change your life. One day you're going to die. Then you're going to be judged. You're either going to go up or down. And it's going to be forever and ever and ever. Okay, let's put down the third. Holy Communion and Mass. Are you guys going to Mass every Sunday? Are you? And Communion? Yeah. Make sure. You're going to Mass every Sunday, receiving Holy Communion. Are you? What does Jesus say about this? He says, listen to the Bible. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Whoever eats my body and drinks my blood will have everlasting life, and I'll raise him up on the last day. Your forefathers ate them and they died. But whoever eats the bread that I give, he will have everlasting life. John chapter 6. Got that? How about that for memory? Good memory? Okay, so that's going to help you to get to heaven. Going to Mass and receiving Holy Communion. Your mom and your dad and your little sister, right? Yep. All right. What else is going to help us to get to heaven? Pray. More and better. Like to pray? A little bit? You guys ever pray? You pray? Luis, is prayer important?
Yes.
Why?
Because it shows that it's God.
Good. Is it important? Prayer?
Yes.
Why do you think?
It's our only communication with God.
Communication with God. What do you think? Prayer important?
Yeah.
What do you think? Why? What? But yeah, oh, they're all good responses, no? All good responses. So if prayer is so important, we have to find some time to pray every day. This is what St. Augustine says. He who prays well, lives well. He who lives well, dies well. He who dies well, all is well. Got that? Can you repeat that? Many of you guys have memories, do you? You should try to exercise your memory. He who prays well, lives well. He who lives well, dies well. He who dies well, all is well. Can you repeat that? All is well. Pretty good. Pretty good. Yeah. Yeah. Not bad. Yeah. Not bad. That's our friend St. Augustine. St. Augustine. Okay, the last, and we'll go back and finish our sheet, is when you're dying, there's a good chance that when you're dying, the devil is going to attack you for the last time. Got that? When you're dying, the devil's going to come. Not physically, but mentally, he could be attacking you for the last time to give up on God. You know how to conquer that? Devotion to Mary. Amen? Amen? So, devotion to Mary. What's the prayer that Mary loves most?
Hail Mary.
Great. Okay, what does she love even more than the Hail Mary? What? Someone said it.
Rosary.
Rosary. Good. So that means the Hail Mary 50 times, right? So get in the habit. Now, if you do that, if you get in the habit of going to confession frequently, meditating upon the last things, death, judgment, heaven, hell, eternity. You get in the habit of going to communion at least every Sunday. You pray and you try to keep growing in your prayer life. And you pray the rosary, you're going to make it. You might have to go to purgatory. We talked about that, right? You might have to go to purgatory. There's nothing unclean can enter into heaven. It's like you're going to a party, you're going to a wedding, and you got a white shirt on, and you got a chocolate spot or a coffee spot, you're going to probably throw that in the washing machine first, right? So nothing impure can enter into the kingdom of God. Got that? So there we have it. Let's go now back to our text. We've arrived at number 15. 16. Other images of time and eternity. Yes, our life is like a breath of smoke. Like a breath of smoke. We see the smoke in the air, and it disappears into thin air. Another might be that of the wind blowing. The wind comes and goes so quickly. Still another might be that of a lightning bolt. You ever see a lightning bolt? You hear thunder, then you see the lightning bolt across the sky. This happens in a split second, right? This might scare us, but it happens so quickly. It brightens the evening sky and then disappears as quickly and suddenly as it comes. Lightning bolt. Till Lady Fatima and the children in eternity. Okay. July 13th, 1917, a Lady of Fatima showed the three little shepherd children a... What? A graphic vision of hell. Write that in there. A graphic vision of hell. From then on, the children were really converted. They prayed more, did more penance, and did all they could to work for the conversion of sinners and their salvation for all eternity. What about Jacinta? Lucia and eternity. Lucia, the older cousin of Jacinta, would respond to the many questions that Jacinta posed her. What was one of the questions of Jacinta? Well, after they saw the vision of hell and how the soul suffered unspeakable torments, Jacinta would ask Lucia, write it in there, if hell would finally end. If hell would finally end. Lucia would respond, no, no, no. Hell is eternal, forever and ever and ever and ever, no end. Should the idea of eternity help us to get to heaven? Great question. And the answer is yes. We should constantly remind ourselves why we are here, where we are going, and how to get there, as well as the concept of eternity. You know there's a map with an electronic map? Did you know that? You don't know how to get to a certain place. There's an electronic map. I don't know, maybe your mom and dad uses it. They want to go to San Diego or some. They just Google in the address as well as the number, and right away it pops up on the screen. And you can even have a voice of someone directing you. I actually have a voice. So if I want to arrive at your house in Hawaiian Gardens or Bellflower or Artesia or Cypress, wherever it might be, I just Google it in, then I hit go, and the voice of a woman comes out and says, once you hit 214th Street, take a left. I arrive at the light. Take a left. Usually says it three times, okay? Take a left. Now when you're in Centralia, take a right. Take a right. Then stay in Centralia about a mile. It turns into Crescent. And then on Walker, take a right. Take a right. And after you're on Walker, you're going to be there half a mile and take a left. Your destination will be 500 feet on the right. And it's pretty good, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Have you ever used it? Yeah. Pretty helpful, isn't it? No? So what is our GPS? Our GPS is our catechetical knowledge of why we're here. We are here in this world to know God, love God, serve God, to get to heaven. Got that? We're here to know God, to love God, to serve God in this life, so as to get to heaven. That's our catechetical GPS, right? So write this in there. My friends, we are here for one sole purpose, and reason. It is to... What? Well, first, to know God. You can't know someone you don't love. You can't love someone you don't know, right? To know God. Then, to love God. Then to serve God. So that we will be happy with Him forever and ever and ever where? In heaven, you got it. Indeed, if we think often about the shortest of time in comparison with eternity, we will quickly change our lives. Renounce sin and try to love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. May Our Lady help us. Amen? So let's say our prayer. We say the Hail Mary that all of us will live good lives, die holy deaths, so that we'll all go to heaven for all eternity. Amen? Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners now and at the hour of our death. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay, good. God bless.